Learn and work, learn and work.
Okay, one over here now.
Just wondering, do you have any regrets in your career path?
No, I don't have a single regret because I don't think I could do any better. Now, there are mistakes I made, and so I hurt a little bit, and I'm not happy about it. And I'm always moaning to Sally and to Murph about, damn it, they're keeping me on my feet. You don't know how long Sally, who got the PE program going at Uni High and turned Uni High from puny uni into powerful uni and kept me going for, I don't know, almost 30 years now. I have regrets. Sure, I made some mistakes that have now made me arthritic. I worked too damn hard when I was a teenager on a railroad, and I shouldn't have done that because my tissue was too soft and I wrecked my back, and it's been repaired, but now it's arthritic. I'm almost 84, but my mind still works, and it's still bothered by the things we have to do. And if I got something to do, you young people got to get off your butt and do something.
Can we give it to my sister?
Yeah, give it here.
Hello, Professor. You don't have any regrets. So do you have any personal advice to current students and maybe future inventors?
Good question.
To students? I think inherently everybody's an inventor. And I think that, for example, when I made the move to leave one group to go to another group, I don't know exactly what was telling me that John Bardeen was different and I better go in that direction. But he did play a different game a different way, and that showed me something, and that made it possible for me to change how I thought about things. The more you see of someone who's thoughts go in a original direction, and you get into that and find that you can add to it, you have just sent yourself a message that you can do it. And once you do one item, it's almost compelling to go look for another and another and another. You're not done when you solve one problem. I think when you start kids out, even in the beginning, I was 5 years old, I think, and I'm pestering my dad, and where he came from, it was a tough life, and they whittled things out with an axe and made wooden churches and all that kind of stuff, and he hands me a pocket knife, and he says, go make it yourself, and I whittled the hell out of my fingers. I got one scar here when I was in the first grade, and the bell rang, and I wrapped a handkerchief around her and shoved it in my pocket so the teacher wouldn't know. But I learned to make almost anything I wanted myself. I didn't whine and beg to him to give me this and give me that. He had a nice expression in his language. Lekho prodate hotovi hroshi. It's very easy. Anybody speak Ukrainian here? He says it's easy to spend ready money, money that's in his pocket. And you know that American kids are good at that. And the old man figures, go do it. And so once you learn how to do one thing, you're learning how to do the next thing and the next thing. And when a teacher teaches you something, that's an eye-opening thing to go do the next thing. And you're on the road, and you don't even know it, but you're on the road to get somewhere. That's why you got to try. You got to try. You got to learn and try.
Okay. Do you anticipate that the LEDs as a light source will pretty much take over the world?
It's inevitable. It's
How many years do you give to the other light sources?
Well, that's difficult because look at all these fixtures and things here. And if I came in and said I want to get rid of all this, someone would say, wait a minute, look, that's a nice chandelier and all this kind of stuff, and I want this thing that will screw in. GE came 3 weeks ago because I got the first one, and my work was at GE, and we got along fine to do this. And they were carrying a bulb that was... looked like one of these bulbs, but it was actually LEDs with the proper electronics in it to screw in there, and it was a 100-watt equivalent, but it was taking 75% less power. Well, it's going to take over. Yeah, it's going to take over. You bet. And there's another reason why it's going to take over. You can prove on... There was a young man who was a physicist I was talking to, Mark, and Mark knows enough of thermodynamics and chemical physics that we can write down some stuff and start in a certain kind of neutral position, do a little thought experiment, and write down a few expressions and prove that that the LED is an ultimate lamp. In other words, it cannot be exceeded. Well, if it's an ultimate lamp and you're a chemist, you come over to me and tell me, but I got this plastic stuff, and it'll be a bit light, and I'll look at you and say, sure. You tell me that the insulation on a copper wire conducts better than the copper? Uh-uh. And now, what we build these things out of is inorganic, and it's almost as good as a metal conductor in the conducting negative part and the conducting positive part. And so I don't think you're going to push it out of existence. I think what it's going to do is fulfill the whole thing of the ultimate lamp. And humans will bake it, get rid of all this. In Japan in 1995, in a big hall with the emperor and others, I pointed to the ceiling and I said, all this is going to go. And it is going. It's beginning to happen big time now. And it's not over.
All right, Professor. I want to ask you a quick question.
Sure.
You've been here quite a while.
Yeah.
You've had a great experience at this university. What's your favorite part about being at the University of Illinois?
I don't know, because in the process of getting older, you shift your habits and what you do, and what I did earlier, I can't quite do now. In other words, I shift it, and I keep doing what I can do. And so it's a place that's got more or less unlimited opportunities. Years ago, the coal miners dug coal, and they sold the coal to the local businessmen and to the taverns. If they come home half drunk, the excuse is, well, they buy our coal and we drink their liquor. And you're not going to go down below and do dirty work and not have something to quench it with. And so the butcher is complaining to my dad about, the coal was a little bit dirty, had a little too much slate or stuff in there. And the old man in his broken English says to him, hey, Ed, you know, sell me meat with lots of bone and fat? Uh-huh. You see, the point is, the U of I, you think you're going to get everything the way you wanted it? It's not your mother or your father and that you can coax. You're going to run into what you like and what you dislike. So then go take the next course, and you'll find a guy you like. I shifted from one group to another group because I thought I was going to do something better, and it happened to work. In other words, when I left the group I was in, the fellows I was with did very well. But then they said to me later, you know, I had Bardeen's course and all that, but you made a smart move, and we weren't so smart. That was a smart move. Something was telling me that what John, the students said that John was silent John or whispering John. I never saw him that way. Man, I was fascinated at how this man was doing what he was doing on the board. Something would happen, and he'd look there at us for a while and all that, and I figured, why the hell did he go this way instead of that way? I'm learning something watching the man. And you can't believe what happened then. All hell broke loose because I go back almost to the beginning of a very primitive thing called the transistor. And look what has happened. Enough to wipe out John and wiping out me and all that. And I see plenty for all of you to do. And it's not all in your head. It's partly in how willing you are to keep yourself going, not being too lazy physically or mentally.